The third and final book in the premier novel series for Christian women is out. The latest in the Anthems of Zion series is titled The Harvest Rays. It's written by Issues Etc. regular guest Katie Schuerman. Learn more about The Harvest Rays at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The Harvest Rays, the Issues Etc. book of the month for August, 1-800-325-3040.
Janice says she's seen your daughter.
My daughter has been dead for a very long time.
She was taken from us at an early age. We prayed to see our beloved girl again. The contact started small. But then it wanted permission to move into a doll so that it could be with us forever. We said yes.
That's the trailer for the horror movie Annabelle Creation. A lot of horror movies deal with this theme, don't they? They deal with the theme of loss and mourning. Of course, they do it in often a gratuitously horrifying way, and a way that is intended to shock and scare. But the theme is there nonetheless. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to be looking at the movie and reviewing the movie, Annabelle Creation. Pastor Ted Giese is our guest. Pastor Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. He also taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks, Todd.
We talk occasionally here reviewing horror movies. I want you to address the issue of how often horror movies either play upon or, in some cases, simply exploit the situation where people grieve after the loss of a loved one.
Yeah, this is it comes up quite often, actually, like you're saying, in horror films, often when it's dealing with ghosts, I guess. So a couple movies that just instantly come to mind. Just recently, we watched a movie, my wife and I, called Don't Look Now. I don't know. Do you remember watching this? It had Julie Christie and Donald Sutherland in it. It's from the 1970s, 1973, I think, something like that. And it was a couple who had a child die, and then they were in Venice in Italy, and it kind of all revolves around thinking that they're seeing this child and different things going on, and they're really, really deeply in the pits of grief. And that was one film. And then also, I mean, there's lots of other films that deal with death and loss, and a springboard from that into dealing with the topic of ghosts within the horror film genre.
Now, before we started to just a short analysis of this, of the film Annabelle Creation, what is the proper way for a Christian to understand two things? What happens when a person dies? And then the claims that are often made, and sometimes without guile, with no attempt to deceive, and based upon what people perceive as genuine experiences, that I have seen my lost wife or I've seen my dead husband.
Okay, so starting with the first thing, Christians, the best way to think about this is think of what Scripture says, what Jesus promises. So very common funeral reading is from John chapter 14, and Jesus says, you know, my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. So in this, you have the promise that Jesus is going to take you to himself. St. Paul talks about being hidden away in Christ until we are going to be revealed on the last day. So where Christ goes, you go in your death. You are with Christ. Jesus on the cross speaking to the other fellow who was one of the other fellows who was being crucified with him says, today you'll be with me in paradise. So you have the intermediate state. So after death and before the resurrection, where are you? You are as a Christian with faith in Christ. When you died, you are with Christ. He has come to take you to himself. So what does this mean? This means that you are not a disembodied ghost who is coming to chit-chat with family members or, you know, having conversations back and forth. So that's not the case. And in fact, what you find in the Small Called Articles, Martin Luther talks about how evil spirits prayed masquerading as the deceased. And in that context, he's talking about it in terms of ways in which people are convinced to have masses for the dead and things like that. But this idea that there is some sort of congress. So you are with Christ. It's not about being this ghostly apparition, something like that. So that would be the first kind of thing to really kind of keep in mind. And now the second part of that was... part of your question.
Well, you kind of got into it. There are people, even Christians, who believe that they have seen someone who has passed away, a loved one who has passed away.
Right, exactly. And now this is very important for this particular movie because it does come up. So we'll kind of talk about it in context of this movie. But the other part of it is think about what the confessions are, a good and right exposition of Scripture. And in it, I mentioned the Small Called Articles and what Luther said about the dead and the living and how that ghosts aren't really the person, the deceased. They are an evil spirit masquerading as the person who died. This is super unpopular. Now it's a very unpopular thing to say this because, well, what if they're nice ghosts or they're, you know, I'm having a good conversation with my, you know, husband who's died or my child who's died. And this is where, you know, I would recommend another guest that you've had on the show, Pastor Bennett's book, Afraid, which has been a book of the month. Grab a hold of that. Take a look at that. If you're a listener and you want to dig more into this, that would be a great place to look. But essentially, you know, just because something is nice, it seems nice or it seems good, or it seems positive, doesn't mean that it is. So in the same way that, you know, various other kind of temptations that somebody can experience in their life may at first seem like a good thing or seem like a positive thing, if it's a temptation into getting your eyes off of Christ and onto something else, then it'll be a beginning of a pathway to something that is away from Christ. So you'd want to return to Christ, turn away from that. Do not give credence to these kind of experiences that you're happening, regardless of how real they may seem to be. So in the case, I just mentioned that movie, Don't Look Now. In the case, I'll spoil it. It's okay to spoil something if it's from 1973. So Donald Sutherland is in deep grief over everything, he keeps seeing somebody that he thinks is his little daughter. And it turns out to be like a midget in a red coat who's actually a murderer in the city of Venice. So he was misinterpreting what he was seeing as his dead daughter. So it wasn't a ghost at all. It was a very real person. So in a lot of cases, people can be misinterpreting what they're experiencing, or maybe it is something that's there. But if it is there, it's not going to be the deceased person. It could very well be evil spirits parading as the deceased person.
So take us into this film that is actually one of three films, and since we now do prequels and sequels all out of order, where does this fall in the other films it's related to?
Okay, so yeah, this is Annabelle Creation. It came out this summer, just a couple weeks ago now, 2017. And it is the prequel to the movie Annabelle, which came out in 2014, which we did a review of. And that was kind of a prequel to the movie The Conjuring, which had this as a B-plot sideline part of it. And that movie came out in 2013. This part of it, this Annabelle part of it, revolves around this alleged haunted Raggedy Ann doll that's kept in a museum of occult curiosities by these paranormal investigator researchers, Lorraine and Ed Warren. And they're real people, actual real people, and these are kind of fictionalized stories connected to this. But the Annabelle movies are, they don't really present the doll as a Raggedy Ann doll. It's this kind of, you know, 2.5 foot tall porcelain doll, which frankly can be creepy all by themselves. And the idea is that these, that this doll is, what we're getting in this movie is an origin story of how this all came to be, that there's this creepy demonic doll that kills people, etc.
So is this akin to something like the Chucky films for the 21st century?
Kind of. I mean, the Chucky films, like, the doll was kind of a wisecracking, malevolent character. This doll doesn't actually speak. The thing that's connected to all of it is it writes notes. It leaves little notes around the house, kind of a deal. It's a mischievous child kind of ghost kind of thing. But, and this gets back to what we were talking about earlier, is that what is revealed through the course of the film is that, and this is the kind of the general thumbnail plot of the film, is that there's a family, 1943, a mother and a father and a little girl, and he's a doll maker, and the daughter dies. They're on their way back from church. She gets hit by a car as they're changing a tire. And now in grief, the parents grieving the loss of their child, they just kind of say, they just make a general request, not specifically to, like, they're Roman Catholics, not to Mary, not to God, not to, you know, not God the Father, not to Jesus, not to anything that, you know, would resemble a Roman Catholic prayer, but just a general, to anyone who's listening, we want to have contact with our child. And then that is, quote unquote, granted to them. And they start to have these little moments with this ghost of this child. But then as it unfolds, it shows up that this child is not really, the child starts to say, can I live inside this doll? And they start to figure out that this, there's something more sinister with this. And it's not actually even the child. It is an actual demonic presence that is parading as the child. And this is the kind of the reveal of what's, why everything is going on the way it's going on. So, you know, throw into that a busload full of orphans and a nun all living on this farm, now dealing with this quote unquote ghost and the grieving family and everything else. And then there's a lot of running and screaming and things going bump in the night. So this is what the movie turns out to be.
This is my experience with horror movies nowadays. They start out with some character development, but by the end, the guy, the director, is simply trying to top one scare after another. It becomes kind of the proverbial runaway freight train, and the anything that's happening plot-wise kind of becomes irrelevant. Does that fall into this category?
Yeah, not too far off. It's a freight train on a roller coaster, you know, track. So you do get that kind of, it gets crazier and crazier as it kind of continues. They do this thing where they dovetail it into the previous Annabelle movie near the end. So it kind of wraps around on top of itself and explains how they got to the particular point in that other film. So for people who saw the previous one, they may find that interesting. Again, there's some characters in it. Like, there's a raft of orphans. There's three or four of them that I couldn't even tell you what their name is now or what anything to do with them. There are some that they kind of build the character on, but it's not a very deep or complex story when it comes to characterization, let's say.
What would you say in terms of its cookie cutter nature of many horror films? Does it have anything that recommends it when you watch it? I'm a huge fan of horror films, but most of them bore me nowadays.
Well, I went and saw it with a friend of mine who really loves Alfred Hitchcock movies. And we just happened to go for a matinee one day to see it. And he came out of church. He grew up in the United Church, and he came out of the church and said, because at one point they have this part of the story where to deal with the situation, they put the doll into a closet, and the closet's all papered with what he thought was newspaper articles, but it's actually pages out of the Bible that have been taken off and like wallpapered on. And he kind of liked this detail, and he mentioned it when we came out. He thought, oh yeah, well, that's if I ever have to deal with an unruly demonic doll, I'll just, you know, keep in mind to like put God's word like on the inside of the closet. Now, that's kind of a superstitious use of God's word. I wouldn't recommend it. He thought that was kind of interesting. Overall, there really isn't a lot of things that really single it out as a totally unique and exciting kind of thing. I mean, it's the way that it's unraveling and the way that it's being told that is above average, but we're not talking like a movie of great quality. It's doing a job. And really, frankly, one of the things that happens with horror films is that this movie cost $15 million to make, and its opening weekend it made $35 million just domestically in North America. So I think there's going to be more Annabelle movies, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's like some blockbuster awesome movie. It just means that they have a really good profit margin on it, and it's profitable to make more of them.
What would you recommend in terms of pastoral concerns about both the subject matter and then often these things can become gratuitous?
There are worse horror films in terms of gratuitousness of the horror film. That said, I'm not recommending this for a wide audience. If you don't like horror films, then just avoid it. There's no real good reason to go see it. Maybe you're just curious and you want to know what it's about, so you've had an opportunity now to know what it's a little bit about. And like in terms of pastoral concerns, it's surprising to me, like as a pastor working in a congregation, as a pastor of a congregation, this is not the majority of the stuff that I deal with on a regular basis, but it does come up frequently enough that you'll be out for dinner with a couple and, you know, the topic will turn to ghosts or whatever, or mediums or things like that. Or somebody will call you to their house because they are having a particular problem. So it's not as though this is not something that people are dealing with or thinking about or curious about. They really are. And it recalls to me a couple of weeks ago, you guys had a interview with Terry Mattingly in which you talked about how in the Czech Republic, things didn't just get like, just because things get secular doesn't mean that they are devoid of anything spiritual or religious or supernatural. And what he had said was, is that they actually have a very high degree of superstition that is associated with or part of life in the Czech Republic. And I think this is very interesting because in our North American society, as things become more and more secular, it doesn't mean that this stuff isn't going to be there, like that people aren't going to have questions and thoughts about ghosts and demons and evil spirits and possession and cursed items and all sorts of things. That stuff is still going to be kicking around in people's minds. And just because somebody's quote unquote secular or is a nun, like doesn't go to church, not a nun like a sister, like at a Roman Catholic church, but like a nun, doesn't mean that they're not going to be thinking about these things. So Christian pastors, Lutheran pastors, people in the pew that are regularly there, they're going to be the people that people will in their lives might turn to ask questions about these things. And it doesn't hurt then for us to have thought about these things, to have talked about these things, to have, you know, read some reputable good material about it, to think about what scripture actually says about these things. It would be good to have something under your belt before you start engaging in a conversation about stuff like this, with somebody who's deeply steeped in superstition, but isn't very close to Christ, or isn't a Christian, let's say, or is kind of ignorantly just rolling around out in the dark, as it were.
Finally, why do we find this so endlessly fascinating that people can crank out these movies, spend a couple $10 million to make it and make it profitable every time?
You know what? It's not profitable every time, but this has been a profitable series for sure. The fascinating part about it, I guess, is that grief is a really, like, now we're talking about movies that deal with ghosts and things like that. Grief is a real, like, serious, important, challenging, and gripping part of living life as a person. Because you're going to have people in your life, parents, tragically sometimes children, other people that are close to you who die. So people are going to have questions about what happens after you die. And this is one of these areas that, you know, there's a mystery there. Christians have promises from Christ, promises in Scripture that give us a grounding and, like St. Paul says, hope that is not held by everybody out in the world. But they know that the dividing line is there. Death comes, and then what is past it? And I think that is the thing that creates fascination across the board. Plus, you have, you know, every number of other religions that have things in the way of, like, animism, for instance, would be another area where there is a strong teaching that, you know, there is this interaction between ancestors and spirits of the dead. So that kind of stuff kind of permeates society. And then on top of that, now that you have, like, this kind of resurgence of Gnosticism, not by name, but by, you know, just the teaching of it kind of infecting and rolling through all of society, you have all of these things where if somebody has a personal experience with something, it's almost on the same level with, you know, some sort of ecstatic religious experience. So even if it's a bad thing, like I was frightened by this spirit of some sort, then it becomes kind of almost like a core bit of their little kind of Gnostic bubble that they're living in. So, you know, as Christians, we want to be very careful that we're not being led astray, that our eyes not being taken off of Christ and put onto something that has no actual eternal hope in it. But, you know, in a world that is awash with this kind of stuff, you know, you watch TV, watch movies, you'll see, you know, people will go to mediums and things like that, which, you know, Christians want not to do. And if they have an opportunity to advise somebody against that, or maybe to have them come for a grief and loss class at their own church instead, to talk with a pastor, talk with somebody in the congregation who can help them with really dealing with grief and loss, that would be the better thing to do. So that's a bit of an extra long answer to that, but I think that that's part of the core thing, is just the real actual problem of death. And then as Christians, we can say, but Christ has overcome death in his resurrection.
You can read Pastor Ted Giese's review of Annabelle Creation at issuesetc.org. Click listen on demand. Pastor Ted Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, thanks.
Thank you.
Next week on Issues Etc., we'll discuss international religious freedom with Nina Shea. We'll have Pastor Tom Baker lead us in a Sunday school lesson on the wisdom of Solomon. And we'll look forward to Sunday morning, according to the 3-year lectionary with Dr. Carl Fikencher, talking about Jesus predicting his death in Matthew 16. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you Monday. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.